Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Music legend and Grammy Hall of Fame inductee Johnny Mathis is bringing his Voice of Romance tour to the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana, next Friday, July 26th. For nearly 70 years, Johnny Mathis has sold more than 350 million records worldwide, with several dozen of those albums achieving gold or platinum status, including hits Chances Are, Misty, and It's Not For Me to Say, which have all been inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. It all started during college when Johnny went to play at the famous Black Hawk nightclub with one of his friends for San Francisco State University, who had performed there regularly as a sextet. One of the owners of the club, Helen Noga, saw a bright future in Johnny's talents when she first heard him sing at the club. At just 19 years old in 1955, Noga booked him to perform at the Andes 440 Club, where he would be noticed by a scout from Columbia Records. And the rest is history. One of the last great singers standing from the classic era that gave us such celebrated crooners as Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Tony Bennett, Johnny is miraculously still performing at almost 89 years old and still singing in that old-school, unmistakable voice. And to talk about this magical musical journey is the legendary Johnny Mathis. Johnny, you and I have been chanting on the air for almost 12 years, and I'm so happy you're joining us once again.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
You know, I am thrilled that you're joining us once again. And when I think about your entire career, you know, you started performing in 1955 at Andy's 440 Club in San Francisco. And you still love what you do being on stage. And you wouldn't give that up for anything, would you?
Well, I think most people will probably feel the same way physically if you're able to do something. You do it. And from the time I was a kid, my mom and my dad, who are my best pals, had seven children. So we had to find ways of entertaining ourselves on our own. So what I did was, in my school years, I got involved with athletics.
Right.
And it stood me in good stead because along the way, I kept up my athleticism, and my voice teachers, all of my voice teachers, I was very fortunate. My dad was a singer, and he insisted that I take voice lessons. And all of my teachers kept telling me about staying physically in shape so that you could do what you'd love to do, and that is to sing. She has been correct in that idea.
Yeah, no kidding, because, I mean, you were training like at Olympic level back in the day, long before music. And yeah, I think that's not the only thing that keeps you young and going, though. It's the philosophy that if you love what you do and you keep active doing it, you can live a long and happy life. And you are that perfect example.
Well, I've been very lucky in regards as my physical condition. I was an athlete. My claim to fame when I was in college was I broke the great Bill Russell, the great basketball player Bill. I broke his high jump record. And it gave me a lot of incentive as far as keeping myself fit. And Bill and I are friends for all these many years. And we have fun talking about keeping ourselves in shape, yeah.
That's very, very cool. Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, high school taking voice lessons, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because your father was a professional singer as well. What was the first song he taught you?
He always had to work for a living because he had seven kids.
Yeah.
We used to tease him all the time. Why don't you leave my mother alone? And he said, don't worry. Your mother loves me very much.
That's awesome.
And on and on and on. But, yeah, my dad was my best pal. And he used to come home late at night from working all day, he and my mom. And he would drive me around San Francisco, where I lived. And I'd say, well, where are we going, Pop? And he'd say, I don't know, son. Maybe somebody want to hear you sing. And that's how it all started.
Wow. Tell us about the Andes 440 Club, because that was really a big moment in your life.
Yeah. San Francisco, a lot of gay nightclubs. That was one of the biggest gay nightclubs in San Francisco. And, you know, San Francisco had a wonderful, intellectual situation about gay nightclubs as opposed to straight nightclubs. And it was all about the performance, and that was about it. So I was very lucky to have a job singing. I come from a large family. I have six brothers and sisters. My dad, my mom did nothing but work all the time to support us. And I could earn money on occasion by singing. Somebody said, well, I'll give you $5 if you sing. And wow. So that's the way I started singing at an early age and getting paid for it. Well, not very much money. But fortunately, a wonderful gentleman from Columbia Records heard me sing when I was about 17 in San Francisco. He was in one of the clubs that I sang at, and he said that he would be back next year, and hopefully by then I would have improved my stage presence or whatever. And I said, oh, thank you very much, and thought nothing of it. But sure enough, he came back next year when I was 18 years old and signed me to my record contract. And the rest, of course, is history.
We're talking to the iconic Johnny Mathis, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN. You made your first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show when that was hot. I mean, that must have been surreal, being on that show.
That was the big deal at the time. Yes, Ed Sullivan was everything. If you could get on that, the world would hear you. And I don't know if you could take advantage of it. And that's what I did. I got on that show, and all of a sudden I had all these wonderful situations where I would get paid to sing. And that was the beginning of my career. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been such a different business over the years, and it certainly has evolved. But, you know, you were doing Vegas, too, in the 50s and 60s. And the major venues at that time, you know, this had a history of disrespectful treatment of black artists. But that changed when you played the Sands, didn't it?
Yes. And God bless Nat King Cole, because I followed him along the way. He was the person who broke the ice, I think, more so than anyone that I can think of at the time. He, along with Billy Eckstein, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Lena Horne, those were my big vocal idols, and they all put themselves out, and eventually people came to their good senses and embraced everybody as human beings and not black and white or whatever color you were. So I've been very lucky in that regard, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, and now, of course, back on tour, the big romance tour. Tell us a little bit about what folks can see on your tour this this summer.
I keep wondering, how long am I going to keep doing this? But, you know, fortunately, I grew up with a lot of athletes, great athletes, some of the best in the world, yeah. People, Bill Russell, Casey Jones, you name them. And I got accustomed to working out. And to this day, I still get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym and do my little exercises. That has helped me a great deal physically. And it probably didn't do my voice any harm. So I'm in good shape. I love to sing, and fortunately there are people who want to hear me. So I'm looking at my calendar now on the wall, and it says that I go to work in about 4 days.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Are you still playing golf? I know golf was a big deal for you. Are you still able to get out there once in a while?
I'm out there hitting balls.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it. I love it. Johnny, I wanted to mention one more thing. You know, when you were in Chicago a few years ago, you know, we were in contact, and my mother had been a big fan for many years. She passed away back in 2019, but I think it was a couple of years before that. And, you know, you welcomed her backstage, and, you know, she was partially blind at the time. I mean, she was kind of struggling a little bit. And we came backstage, and you and I kind of looked at each other like, yeah, this is my mom right here. I sat her down. I walked away for a few minutes, and you came down, and you said, Mickey, thank you so much for coming and see me tonight. And the emotions that came from her, and this biggest smile I've ever seen on her face. And you spent, God, you must have spent 10 minutes sitting down and talking to her after doing a two-hour concert. I will just say, that meant the world to her, and I know you have meant the world to millions for so many years.
I've been so lucky, and I know what it's like to embrace someone who likes you or who wants to be friends. And over the years, it has stood me in good stead, and I'm glad that your mom was there for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, to see Johnny perform in the Midwest and find more about what Johnny is up to, visit johnnymathis.com. Always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the summer and be well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Take care, Johnny.